You can track down distant relatives from all over these days, thanks to the power of the internet. In the early days of online genealogy, that meant comparing the gaps in your family tree online with like-minded strangers. Now you can send away to get your DNA tested and upload it for the world to see. Dr. Caitlin Curtis is a research fellow in the Centre for Policy Futures at the University of Queensland. She was also one of this year's ABCRN top five scientists in residency. Caitlin's been looking into how this online genetic data can be used in ways you might not expect, including by the police.
Have you ever taken an ancestry DNA test? Or maybe a member of your family has? When you took the test, you probably never considered that the data might be used by the police. Earlier this year, police used a DNA genealogy website to make a very high-profile arrest. A suspect in the Golden State Killer case in California was tracked down using data stored in the open access ancestry database GEDmatch. This was a shock to many who uploaded their data to find long-lost relatives. The co-founder of GEDmatch, Curtis Rogers, didn't even know that his database had been used for the investigation until he arrived at work on the morning of April 24th and found himself in the middle of an international media storm.
I learned about it when someone sent me an email. You know, just early morning, I got out of bed. When I woke up, I looked at my cell phone and someone said, "Hey, you're involved in this." Well, by the time I got to the office, which is on a little narrow street, the street was clogged with news vans with disc antennas on top, and reporters that had come here from, they'd heard about it before I did, came from hours away drive to get here. So, you know, I just kind of thrown into it, and I didn't really have much chance at that point to do anything other than say, wait a minute, I got to collect my thoughts. And I really had to think through very, very seriously what was the right thing to do here. And that took a couple of weeks, just, you know, very little sleep.
GEDmatch was designed to be an open source ancestry tool, so genealogy enthusiasts could track down relatives. But this also means that the system is available for police investigators to use. Decades ago, police had collected a sample from the crime scene, but a genetic sample isn't much use unless you know who it belongs to. Police thawed out this frozen sample and used it to create the same kind of data that ancestry companies do. Then they submitted it online and compared it against GEDmatch's existing database. The police didn't locate the suspect through their search on GEDmatch because his DNA wasn't uploaded. They didn't even find a close relative. What they found through GEDmatch were a number of third and fourth cousin matches to their unidentified samples. And these are distant relatives. Third cousins share a set of great-great-grandparents. And on average, we all have somewhere around 190 third cousins. Working with genealogists, the police were able to trace the genealogy back from the distant cousins that they had located on GEDmatch until they got to their suspect. Curtis Rogers says that they always tried to let people know that there was a possibility of unexpected use of their data, but the use by the police was a shock and very unexpected.
We've always had a policy that was available to everyone that said that their data, their information, could be seen by others and therefore may be used for purposes other than genealogy. We have always said that. We've never been specific in saying what those other purposes are. Quite frankly, I don't think we gave a great deal of thought that law enforcement could be one of them.
Curtis Rogers says that after the initial shock wore off, it took him some time to figure out exactly how he felt about GEDmatch being used in this way.
I feel we have a real obligation to try and protect the privacy of our people and not have their DNA used for things other than what they put it on our site for, which is genealogy.
Since the time of the arrest in April, Curtis says that he has received a lot of support for this new use of GEDmatch.
Let me tell you about an email that I got from a woman who said, "I want to make sure that my data, my information is on your site as visibly as it possibly can be because my father was a serial killer. And I want to make sure that if there are cases out there that have not been settled, that the families of those cases can find out what happened and get some finality in it." You know, when I read that, I literally cried.
GEDmatch has seen over 1 million people upload their information. At the moment, the greatest number of users come from the United States, but the website gets uploads from around the world, and many of those are from Australia. It's important to point out here that most of the major ancestry companies, like Ancestry DNA, MyHeritage, and 23andMe, have closed databases, and they say they won't share your data with police unless they're legally compelled to. But the problem with these closed databases is that if you've taken a test from one company, you can't really connect with relatives who take a test with another company. The point of GEDmatch is to allow you to connect with relatives no matter which company they've used to take a test. Population genetics researcher and statistician Doc Edge from the University of California, Davis, says there's already enough openly accessible genetic data available to track down many people in countries like the United States. And that's using the same techniques that detectives used to make an arrest in the Golden State Killer case.
You know, a person of European ancestry with a lot of recent ancestry in the U.S., you've got a pretty good chance of finding them in a database like GEDmatch.
The police have forensic databases, and they've used genetic data for a long time. So what's different about this new use of genealogy data? Police around the world generally use about 20 markers in our DNA to create a genetic profile. These markers are generally limited to matching a suspect to an unknown sample at a crime scene, kind of like a DNA fingerprint. What the police used in the Golden State Killer case is the same as DNA ancestry companies, and that's what we call a SNP chip. These read about 700,000 DNA markers, which makes them much more powerful in identifying not only the suspect, but distant family relations.
This is a much, much richer information about a person. It can tell you a lot about their ancestry. It's much better at finding relatives. And in principle, it can tell you something about phenotypes as well, meaning the traits that people have. So they're quite different sources of data, and they're quite differently useful for this sort of relative finding that's been done in the Golden State Killer case.
Police genealogy also goes to the heart of the broader issue of surveillance. And it really raises questions about the extent to which we are prepared to sacrifice our privacy to enforce the law. Up until this point, we've had strict rules that govern who can be included in a law enforcement DNA database. The rules differ slightly between regions, but typically it's been restricted to people who have been convicted of a crime. But police use of genealogy completely changes that. And what all of this means is that the actions of our distant relatives have essentially put everyone within reach of this new kind of forensic tool. Doc Edge has some concerns.
So for these very severe cases, I think you have a lot of public support for law enforcement doing anything they can to find these people. I feel a lot less cheery about it if it becomes a more routine procedure. And if sort of genetic surveillance is being used for more routine crimes, drug crimes, things like this, that worries me more.
Despite the shock of realizing that so many people could be tracked down using GEDmatch, its founder, Curtis Rogers, says he thinks this tool should still be freely available for anyone to use.
I can only hope there won't be a clampdown on how it's used, because that would mean a tremendous blow to genealogists who are just doing their own family genealogy, of whom there are millions out there who are interested in it. I would much rather see that this be determined by the users themselves, that they know if they put their DNA or their information, not their DNA, on our site, that there is a risk of maybe one of their very distant relatives being a criminal. They have the right to take their information off of our site anytime they want, and we make it very easy for them to do that. And they can put it on, they can take it off. Let the market decide. Don't let the government decide. Let the people themselves decide. I do not want to have government regulation come in and dictate how this will be handled.
Curtis is right. For genetic genealogy to work, there have to be open databases. But policy could be developed that controls police access to these databases. So regulation doesn't necessarily have to mean the shutdown of amateur genealogy databases. The way that genetic information is shared among families makes it all the more important to ensure that access to it is carefully considered.
If somebody finds my credit card information or something, It doesn't tell them my second cousin's credit card information. It doesn't give them any way of tracking that down, for example. And also, I can just change my credit card and get a new one if that's breached. I can't change my CODIS markers or any other piece of my genetic information. So I think there are good reasons to think of genetic data as, in fact, being exceptional in certain ways. And so to have sort of an extra privacy conversation about it.
For now, though, many people's data is already online. And not just available to law enforcement. The Golden State Killer case is not a one-off event. It's the start of a new era in forensic genetics. Police around the world are already starting to use this same technique. And if you, one of your family members, or even a distant relative, has already uploaded genetic information to a site like GEDmatch, you might already be easy to track down, if you've left your DNA behind anywhere.
A special report was from Dr. Caitlin Curtis from the University of Queensland. She was one of this year's top five scientists in residency with ABC Radio National. I'm Norman Swan. I hope you can join me next week.